Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. If you can, be seated briefly. It's a season of revival. We are trusting God for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit. But it's also important for us to understand the reason why revival is necessary in the first place. It's a thing of joy when the Lord decides to pour out of His Spirit upon a people. But if we don't understand why God does what He does, we will abuse sacred things. You abuse sacred things in the Spirit, you are labeled a swine. You know, spiritual definitions are different from mental and cognitive definitions. Jesus said, cast not holy things, holy pears to swine. They will trample upon it because they don't have the spiritual intelligence to accurately evaluate and to place the needed honor upon that which they receive. So they take it for granted. So they will take for granted things that cost God so much. And when you find a generation that does not discern spiritual values, they are like swines in the cater of God. So it's always important for us to understand why God does the things He does, so that our generation will not become guilty of a harsh judgment. You know, the Bible said Jesus in Luke chapter 9, when He was entering the city of Jerusalem, He began to lament. Lamented over the city of Jerusalem. He said, there will be no stone left unturned. He said, there will be gnashing of teeth and they will be besieged round about. He said, because thou knowest not, Luke 19:44, the times of thy visitation. So it becomes more pathetic for a people when God visits them and they don't discern than a people who do not have a visitation at all. So it's not just good for God to visit. When you don't discern it, you are woed. He lamented over Sidon. He said, if the things that were done in thee were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth. But because they have not discerned, their judgment will be worse. So we are not just going to be excited about revival. We need to understand why revival is necessary in the first place. And when revival begins, we need to find out what is most pertinent in revival. Because the most significant part of revival is not the outpouring itself. It's what we do with the outpouring. Because if we don't steward and bring administration to the outpouring will be wasted. And it is so doomed for a generation that waste an outpouring of God's Spirit. So when you study revival, you would understand that where man fails the most in revival is the face of the administration of the outpouring of the Spirit. And the reason it is so is because they don't know why revival was necessary in the first place. I've taught many times, and as the Lord permits, I will teach in this conference, that there are three phases of revival. The phase of the awakening, where a generation is called back to the Lord. This is why God raises voices. And then the phase of the outpouring, where the Holy Ghost falls upon His people, having seen genuine repentance. And then finally, the phase of consolidation or discipleship, where men are built to capture that which is the heart of the Father and to bring it to a generation as a token of witness. In all of these three phases, the phase of consolidation is most important. Because if we don't bring administration to the outpouring of the Spirit, then the awakening and the outpouring itself was a waste. But for us to bring the right administration to revival, we will need to understand why revival was necessary in the first place. Every time there is a need for revival, then there is a statement in the Spirit that the church has gone backward. Revival in itself, in the realm of God, is not good news. In the realm of God, revival is actually a terrible news, because it's a testimony that a generation has drawn back. A generation has departed from the Lord. So when God begins to bring emphasis of revival, it means the church is either gone backward or the church is beginning to fail in her responsibility as the gate of heaven on the face of the earth. Because the church is not a building. The church is a gate. The church is a portal. The church is the access point of heaven to earth, where the government of heaven is established on the face of the earth. So when God begins to ask for revival, it means we are beginning to fail in our mandate. And that's why before revival begins, there must be repentance. If we don't acknowledge the fact that we are failing, and we still pride in the fact that we are doing well, there will be no revival. And even though there will be much activity on the landscape, the government of God will not find expression. And I want to show you 6 indicators and progression that when consummated, God has no choice but to pour His Spirit afresh. This is why revival is necessary. When you see these 6 indicators, and when these 6 indicators are fully consummated, then there is one more thing God has to do, is revival. If revival doesn't come, then the anger of God will be kindled against His people. Many times when God brings judgment on His people, it's because they came to that junction where these 6 indicators were consummated and the people did not turn to Him. So God will have no choice but to allow them to a season of judgment and peril, because that judgment will bring a purging to the people and they will turn to the Lord. So we will look at these 6 indicators and you will see how the body of Christ have departed from God. That departure of the body of Christ is what necessitates for revival. So when we speak revival, it's not just people gathering together, screaming and shouting. It's a people that have examined the body of Christ carefully and have seen that what is in the mind of the Father is no longer what is happening. It's a gathering of a people that have a burden for what God wants to do. Having not seen it expressed on earth, are beginning to ask the Lord to intervene so that which He wants to do must be done. Because if it is not done, a generation can be lost. I've shared it before. Between Malachi and Matthew was 400 years of darkness. That is 4 generations lost. They did not have a dot in the calendar of God. A generation can be lost. God spoke to Moses. He said, I will wipe out these people and I will start a new generation with you. God can forget about a generation. So when we follow through this negative gestation period and we come to that point where we need to turn to the Lord for an outpouring of His Spirit and we fail, then it is possible for our generation to be forgotten. Preaching will go on. Church activities will go on. But God will withdraw. And when God withdraws, that generation doesn't have a stake in the name of God. So revival is not just a gathering of people screaming and shouting, praying loud, and even misbehaving in the course of praying. It's not a people trying to make a name for themselves and saying, I'm a revivalist, I'm a man of prayer, I'm setting men on fire. It's a time of sober reflection. It's a time of turning to the Lord in humility and in repentance, because we have checked the body of Christ and we have discerned that what God wants to do is no longer obtainable with the generation. And so we seek God's face anew. There are 6 indicators that I want to share with us tonight. The first is in Judges chapter 2, from verse 7 to verse 11. You know, there are certain things in scriptures that are scattered. The Bible said precepts shall be upon precepts. Lines shall be upon lines. Here a little, there a little. You know, if the ministry and the office of the teacher is not activated to reveal to the body of Christ what is lacking, we may not even be aware. We can be doing things and we think they are so spiritual, but we are not making progress in the spirit. Things as spiritual as prayer can become very carnal, and the reason why many will fall. Hope you know, in this season where people should be humble, pleading and seeking the face of the Lord, many have become prayer champions and have become proud with prayer. And prayer have become the reason why they have become high-minded and lofty, because they don't even understand why we are praying. They think the reason we are praying now is to find out who can pray the longest. The goal is not who can pray the longest. We are trying to attain the place of brokenness so that God will see genuine repentance, and on the strength of that repentance, pour out His Spirit. We are not trying to show who prays better than the other. The idea is not even the prayer in itself. The idea is a state of brokenness, because a contrite heart and a broken spirit the Lord cannot despise. And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So the prayer is a testimony of humility. If there is no humility, the prayer was a waste. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, I will hear them and I will visit the land. So the ministry and the office of the teacher is what brings the emphasis of God. Else, in the midst of the right things, we may be very wrong. We can be shouting revival, and revival will be the reason why we will never have revival. Because everybody talking revival will become a boss, a proud and an arrogant person. And when God sees that pride, it will be the reason why He will resist us the more. Because God resists the proud, but He giveth more grace to the humble. So you need to see that revival is not something to pride in. Revival is actually a testimony that the church is failing. So we need to bow our heads in humility and seek the face of God. That's what revival is about. Revival is a sign that we have not met the mark of God. So God needs to pour out His Spirit again for us to attain it. So we come before Him in brokenness. That's what it's about. It's not something we pride ourselves in. It's not something we brag about. It's something that should take us back to the place of humility. And the first indicator that revival is needed is in Judges chapter 2 from verse 7 to verse 11. And he said, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. In verse 8, he said, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. Are you hearing his credentials? This is not a warrior. This is not a prophet. This is a servant of God. There is a place we get to where our title is no longer what distinguishes us, but the texture of our service. There's a place we get to where they don't care who is prophet and who is apostle. They want to find out what's the testimony of your witness. What is the quality of your service before God? So these men know that these things they are talking about, they are credentials being read in the realm of God. Among men, you may need to know who is an apostle. You may need to know who is a bishop. But when you come before the King of Kings, titles are not sounded there. It is service that is recorded. So Joshua was recognized not as a warrior. He could be a warrior on earth, because on earth he conquered 31 kings. But when he comes before the throne where God sits, nobody stands there. Everybody kneels. Because there, our rank is according to our service. That's why I said the servant is the greatest of all. So he said, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And that was not all. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Tanahatrit, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. Go further. And also, all, hear this now, this is where the problem comes. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which He had done for Israel. There was a generation that when they came to pray, because they know the terror of God, their prayer time was a moment of surrender and trembling. But another generation have risen that thinks prayer is a time of show. So when the guy carries the microphone, it's time for him to show that he is more anointed than everybody. That generation does not know the Lord. There is a generation where men preach the word of God with integrity and purity, but another generation have risen that uses the word of God to extort money and to merchandise the word of God. That generation does not know the Lord. There was a generation that discipled men in the fear of the Lord, but this is now a generation where it is a risk to have a sister stay around a brother, because when you come back in 3 months, you will hear things that should not be told. That generation does not know the Lord. There is a generation where men came to church because they wanted to worship God and God was their focus. But we have a generation now where people come to church because they want to learn the principles of prosperity. They want to learn the principles that are not necessarily inculcated as foundational in Christ. That generation does not know the Lord. There was a generation where ministry was about serving God, but another generation have risen where ministry have become title. That generation does not know the Lord. There was a generation where on a weekly basis they went out to win souls because they knew what was in the heart of God was to win a generation back to God. But we have a generation now that want to preach on the pulpit and become popular by oratorial power. That generation does not know the Lord. There is a generation that once before now they trembled before God, but we have a generation that God has become our colleague and our friend. So we could cross our leg in God's presence. We could be praying and answering our phone. We could be in church and talking on WhatsApp. That generation does not know the Lord. Even though churches have increased and auditoriums have become bigger, we have a generation that does not know the Lord. And when a generation rises like that, there must be a revival. We have a generation where men cannot go to the street to win souls, but they will fight themselves for who we preach on the pulpit, because it's no longer about souls, it's about pulpit. We have a generation where people no longer have buttons for the body of Christ. They now have buttons for honorarium, fame, and popularity. That generation does not know the Lord. Even though there is activity, God is far. And when a generation rises like that, there is a need for revival. We are talking the same things the fathers are saying, but our heart posture is different. Our motivation is different. Our bodies are different. We have a generation that once served the Lord with prayer, with fasting, with reverence, and with fear. But we have a new generation that thinks serving God is about excellence and packaging. That generation does not know the Lord. A generation that preaches another Jesus, that has another spirit, and has another gospel have risen. And until God pours out his spirit upon us afresh, we will be lost. Because when the fathers depart, something happens. In Acts chapter 20, from verse 20 to 30, before Paul left Ephesus, he said, when I leave you, there will be wolves that will come among you to raise disciples, not after Christ, but after themselves. When a generation that does not know the Lord arises, there's a need for revival. They don't know why the fathers of old did the things they did. They don't know why these men pursued God the way they did. There was a generation where dying for the cause of the gospel was an honorable thing that men look forward to. But we now have a generation now that the totality of our message is self-preservation, self-aggrandizement, self-glorification, self-exaltation. When you listen to the message, you listen to 30 messages, there's no conviction in your heart. You only learn new principles on how to survive. You only learn new principles on how to become rich. And then we justify it because we need prosperity to advance the gospel. The question is, who is the person advancing the gospel? Is he a thief that you give money to that will advance the gospel? A generation that does not know the Lord. That's why you see in the book of Judges, a man will rise, a generation will come to the Lord, and when he goes, they go back to iniquity. Another man rises and he goes, they go back to iniquity, because periodically, it is always the way of man. He seeks God for what God gives, and the moment he has it, he doesn't give a damn about God anymore. God can go to wherever he wants, so long as he's surviving and doing well, he is at peace. When you go to a place where you see multitude, check the emphasis of that gospel. It's not Jesus, it is self. I assure you, you will hardly go to large meetings today where the emphasis is about Jesus, where the emphasis is about intimacy, where the emphasis is about death to self. When you come to large congregation, they are always there because of what God is handing out, because we need the things of God, not God. So that generation can become rich and wealthy. That generation can become very bogus. But when that generation is judged in the scales of balances, it will be said that that generation know not the Lord. We have a generation that knows the healing of Jesus, the prosperity of Jesus, the blessings of Jesus, but does not know Jesus. We know all the principles. From January to December, we are studying keys, not Christ. Keys to prosperity, keys to well-being, keys to success. Those are all we study and we gather in our number. But you can't find men that know the Lord. And so when 90 people gather, 89 of them are confused when they have to take decision, because no one knows how to hear God. So one man will have to hear God for 90 people. When you call for healing service, they gather, but they don't know God. That's a generation that knew not the Lord. The first indicator that there is a need for revival, when a generation know not the Lord. They may know the things of God, but they don't know God. That's why the Bible said the children of Israel, they knew the acts of God. Only Moses knew the ways of God. That's the generation we are in.
Verse 6 to 7.
When you find this kind of generation, then you know that a new order of gestation period have been activated. The second thing that happened, and they took their daughters to be their wives. Start from verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives. The second thing that happens is we begin to mingle with the world. So you come to church, the worship of God has now become an idol worship. Because all the dance steps you find in church are the same dance steps in the club. You won't know the difference between church and a club anymore. The worst thing that happens to the church is when the world enters the church. 90% of worship and Christian praise today, the beats they use, they downloaded it from the world system. And then you say, what is wrong with it? No, there's nothing wrong. But the inspiration was furnished by another spirit that is not Christ. So when you find a generation that now delights in the ways of the world, they are already on a gestation period. Pastor may not even be aware that all the dance step, the choir is dancing, and 90% of the church congregation is a mammon, is a serpentine step. But you can't tell, because mingling has begun to take place. They are beginning to take
wives from the system of the world. You are listening to a praise worship. You think you are dancing to God. That beat you are dancing to was cooked from the demonic realm. Because when you follow that beat to its logical end, you will discover that it was a secular musician that created that beat. But we are now dancing because we don't understand that vibration is what makes and orders the molecular structure of men. Men are created by sound. And when they begin to import sounds from the demonic cover, after a while, you will discover that your prayer life will die. And then you are wondering, why can't I pray anymore? You are being altered. That's what you are not aware of. You come to a church, they can no longer pray. They say, let's do praise and worship. You do praise and worship for 3 hours. 90% of the songs are secular songs. So they are dancing to vibration from the world system. And they don't know why the same church that can be on high praise for 3 hours cannot be on high prayer for 30 minutes. Because they have been mutilated. First, they did not know the Lord. And then secondly, they fell into the pathway of corruption because they began to mingle with the world system. Our language, world system. Our music, world system. Our dress code, world system. Everything about us, we begin to mingle. And we think it is harmless. We don't know we are on a slippery ground. And then we are journeying away from God again and again. But we don't understand. There are 5 things that the devil will launch on the body of Christ in the last day. In Matthew 24 from verse 9 to verse 13, the Bible revealed to us 5 things that will happen in the last day. And it said, we must overcome it to be able to keep our salvation. He didn't say God is coming to deliver us from it. When he finished, he said, they that endure it to the end, they shall be saved. The first is persecution. Matthew 24 verse 9, he said, you will be given up. He was talking about the church. And you will be afflicted. And he said, some of you will be killed. So the second is death. Number 3, he went further. He said, false prophets shall arise. Deception. He didn't stop there. He gave us 5 things that will happen. Number 4, he said iniquity. Iniquity. Departure from God. That's why in Isaiah 53 from verse 4, is verse 6, it says, all we like sheep has turned away, and every man has gone his ways. Has gone in his own ways. It is a mingling with the world system. A mingling. There are too many people that have mingled with the world. They are not even aware. When you check their phones, everything is secular. And they think it is normal. It is the battle of the last day. It is deception. Deception. You will mingle with the world and you will be normal with it. After a while, your temperature in the spirit will begin to go down and you will become cold. And you won't know what has happened. It's because you entered this path. So when God sees these things happening in a generation, he begins to prepare a revival. Because all of a sudden, the people that love prayer, they can no longer pray. They just want to hear music and they are nodding. And they say they are in the spirit. No, you are not in the spirit. You are becoming cold. And you are choosing the path of deception. You are becoming cold. Because once upon a time, you could pant in your room and pray. And your whole dress is wet. You are not asking God for anything. You are just enjoying the marathon of prayer. But now you can't pray anymore. You are in your room, you put music. And you doze off and wake up. You say, God, I was in the spirit. No, you are not in the spirit. You were in the dream. But I'm telling you why it happens. This is why it happens. It happens because you have begun to mingle with the world system. And when you mingle, things happen to you that you don't know. This is why many times we don't even know where we departed from. We don't know where we lost alignment. Because these things are so subtle that it takes discernment for you to know that even though this thing looks harmless, it's not God. That's why discernment is one of the greatest weapons of the last day. Somebody comes to you, is talking, you hear that language, you know, no, there's a spirit behind that language. This is not God. Paul came in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 4. He said, they will preach another Jesus to you. They will preach another gospel to you, and you will receive another spirit. If you are not discerning, you will not know. They will come to you and they will preach Jesus to be an intellectual. And everything is intellectualism. And this intellectualism does not affect your culture. It does not set you on fire for God. It does not provoke passion for the things of the spirit. You just come, you are talking bogus thing. That's another Jesus. It's a new age order. They talk about lofty things that you cannot substantiate, and it cannot draw you closer to God. You are hearing another Jesus. You come to a point, they teach to you only about prosperity. Jesus is not a money doubler. As if process is no longer a kingdom factor. You wake up every day, it's about a blessing. No! There is something the Bible spoke about. It said, they that endure to the end, they shall be saved. This journey has affliction. This journey has debt. This journey has deception. This journey has iniquity. You will endure all of them by tarrying in the spirit. You will stand in the spirit to be able to survive. You will only come and receive from God. You will find where God dwells, and you will stay there to be able to survive. Any gospel that does not bring you to the point where you stay in God's presence to build capacity to stand is not of Jesus. And that's why you will pick language from the gutters, and then you think they are sweet. They are not sweet. You are entering the path of mingling, and when you mingle long enough, you will lose sacred things. The things you guarded with your life will no longer mean anything to you. Suddenly you wake up on Saturday and you will no longer be able to go for evangelism. You are tired, and then you will tell yourself, I don't want to come and kill myself. And you don't know that I don't want to come and kill myself is of the devil. You that pray and seek the face of God, you wake up, you say, no, this thing can't be like this. You are ready. Something has gone wrong. But you don't know. That's why our path is narrow. Jesus called it the narrow way. It's a narrow path. Because if you don't follow the narrow path, there are different frontiers that mingling can be introduced to you. You started worshiping God with fire, and then they heard your voice. They now say, come and worship God in a birthday party. So you are now singing on birthday. You come and sing worship song for the celebrant, not for God. They tell you, come. They are doing a social gathering, and they are doing a promo for SIM card. Come and sing. You didn't go there to win stones. They told you, don't worry, we'll give you something. And then you don't know when you start pursuing something. Your goal is no longer to minister to the Lord. Your goal now is to get something or to be popular, because they told you they will stream it on DSTV. You were not sent to DSTV. You are a messenger of Jesus Christ. And when you mingle, after a while, your fire will go off. That's where the body of Christ is. Too much mingling. You can no longer find a preacher or a minister that you can't find any word, anything of the word on him. It's difficult. Either he's carrying a strange haircut, or he's doing a strange dress code, or he has a terrible language, or there is a sound that he resonates with that has no root in the spirit. You say, is he sinning? No, he's not sinning. But not too long, he will begin to sin. Because it's a gestation period. You go to certain churches, you are wondering, are you in church? They say, God doesn't bother how we dress. God doesn't bother how we dress. We have become like marriage agents. We are naked and God doesn't bother how we dress. But where did we get that inspiration from? We have begun to mingle. So the things we see the worldly people do is beginning to have contact with our spirit. And we don't know the goal is corruption. We don't know. I see funny things. I'm not trying to be legalist. But I'm telling you, it's a slippery ground. And not too long, you will discover that there can be no difference between you and the world anymore. In your utterance, in your dress code, in your lifestyle, something has gone wrong. If they cannot tell the difference between you and the world, something has gone wrong. You may not be fornicating, but I tell you, not too long from now, you will. Because it's a gestation period. When we see these things, we know that an outpouring must ensue. A pastor comes to church. Let's pray. People can't pray for 30 minutes, but it's not a problem. It talks about principles of prosperity. And then it says it intelligently. And then they sow a seed. And then the whole back of the stage is LED. Everywhere is excellent and pristine. He coordinates himself. The outside is neat, but the inside is a garbage. And he says, we are doing ministry. You are a theater for the devil. That's why many innocent believers, they enter churches, that's where they fall. In the days of the fathers, when a soul is won, you can hand him over to any church member. Go and disciple him. Today, even the pastors, you have to put a surveillance camera to be sure. Because if you come back in 3 months, you may be shocked that the sister is pregnant. This is global. This is a global thing happening. It's not about Ghana. It's not about Nigeria. It's about the body of Christ. We are in a state where we have mingled with the world system. And the problem with mingling with the world system is that it blinds you to spiritual things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their minds. They are blinded. That's why men can no longer endure sound doctrine. When you tell people things that are true, they say it is hard. What makes it hard? It is hard because they have mingled with the world. The energy of God they once had, they no longer have it. You come to a place, you tell people that they have to pray for 10 hours. They are like, wow, how is that going to be? So how is it feasible? How do we sustain it? You tell people they should read the Bible every 3 months. They say, wow, how can they read the whole Bible in 3 months? Everything is hard. It's hard. Let's go out for soul winning. It's now difficult. Everything has become hard. The reason is because mingling have taken place. And when you find yourself that you have begun to mingle, the things that were sacred to you are no longer sacred. Know that you are on the journey of blindness. Because the devil will begin, first of all, by making you adopt the ways of the world. And when you adopt the ways of the world, you will begin to see yourself compromising. Little compromises. Your prayer time, you will compromise it. It's not a problem. Your day of fasting, you will compromise it. It's not a problem. The order and the protocol of compromise have been introduced into your system. A day will come, you will compromise your virginity and you will not feel bad. Because the idea of mingling is to introduce compromise. The third thing that happened is in verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. Do you see how they became godless? A generation rises that doesn't know the Lord, or a generation that is infantile, after a while adopts the ways of the world. They say, no, this thing is excellent. There's nothing wrong with excellence. I'm not against it. But I am careful to know what is inspiring it. When they adopt the ways of the world, the third thing that happens is that they forget their God. Forget the thoughts of God. So now they are looking for sweet talkers. Somebody that will come to tell them that it doesn't matter if you fornicate, God will forgive you. Ah, forget. Do you think this thing is easy? And now, thank you so much. At least somebody is telling us the truth. Meanwhile, when they started, it was like a sin for them to look upon people lustfully.
But now they are looking for a preacher that will tell them, forget this fornication thing. God can forgive you. It's not easy. There is forgiveness in God. And then they say yes. So that they can become comfortable in iniquity. After a while, they will forget where they met God. They will forget their encounters. They will forget the law of God. And they will forget their God. It's possible for a man to forget his God. And the way you forget your God is to adopt the ways of the world until you begin to compromise. You will compromise to a point where the things of God that were sacred to you will no longer be sacred. After a while, you have opened another gate. So you will depart from God. Once upon a time, if somebody says certain things around you, your spirit is so grieved. It's either you win the person to Christ or you end that relationship. Now it's a normal thing. When they say it, you just smile. After a while, you will find yourself beginning to say it. After a while, the fear of God will leave your heart. And then the things that made you stay awake all night will no longer trouble you anymore. You have forgotten your God. And when Israel forgets their God, the 14 is inevitable. He said, and they did evil in the sight of God. This is how the church journeys to the place of evil. Have you heard what many prophets are doing today? Are they despicable? Yes. Have you heard what many apostles are doing today? Are they despicable? Yes. But they didn't come there overnight. They came there by, first of all, adopting the way of the world, compromising little by little. They forgot their God until they became captains of evil and iniquity. So today, it's natural to do evil. A man can sin. Instead of shutting down and going to seek the face of God, he said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please help my own, help my iniquity. Help me. I'm weak. Help me. And then he comes to the altar. And then he preaches. When he finishes, he says he's forgiven. And then evil begins to pile up. Wickedness begins to pile up. After a while, because it was on the altar, it will not affect everybody. When you come to a church when people are loose, it's because the pastor is loose. If you come to church where people fornicate, it's because the pastor fornicates. I'm not talking about one or two persons that falls. Anything you see in the church that is a norm, it rises from this altar. It generates from here. And the time comes, a whole generation becomes godless. Today, sir, I am bold to submit to you that when you gather Christians and you ask them questions, at least 9 out of 10 is struggling with something. It's either masturbation, either immorality, or lying, or pride, or stealing. 9 out of every 10 Christians is struggling with something. And then we adopted that every man has his cross. When the Bible says carry your cross, it's not sin it spoke about. It is the persecution you will endure for the sake of the gospel that he said you should carry. God didn't say you should carry sin as a cross. God didn't say you should carry sickness as a cross. It is persecution that he said you should carry. But today, somebody is either masturbating, he's tied down with pornography, he's tied down with immorality, he's tied down with something, and then he looks for an excuse to legitimize it. And when we come to church, no word is deep enough to strike it that, oh, you are losing your throne. Nobody reminds you about eternity. Nobody reminds you about where you began your journey with God. The reason is because only the pastor has forgotten God and is now living by iniquity. If we come to that point where we begin to do evil before the Lord, then you know that the gestation period of revival is ripe. And I assure you that the body of Christ has come to that point. If you see the level of swindling and manipulation taking place from the altar, you will begin to weep if God puts that burden on your heart. If you see the level of evil that goes on in the body, you will weep. A generation that does not know the Lord, a generation that adopts the world system as their norm, a generation
that turns and departs from the Lord, and a generation that does evil before the sight of God. When these four things happen, then that generation will begin to serve strange gods. Do you know many people today worship themselves? Are you aware? A pastor can miss church service because his suit is not iron. There are many people today who worship themselves. A lady can give up her virginity because she needs money to make her hair and to compete with her colleagues. I'm not talking about going to the shrine yet. Meanwhile, there are many Christians that are going to shrines. This is the generation where we are in. We have many gods today that is not Jesus. We will worship strange gods if we don't halt this process. Do you know there are people today that worship money? Everything about church is money. Every Sunday service, no matter what the man of God preaches, he must end it on giving. If he has not talked about giving, message have not ended. His partnership from week 1 to week 52 of the year, it's always about money. The pastor will only smile with you when you bring a seed. When you come to see the pastor and you say anything other than seed, there's problem. Do you know many people have left cities to go to another city just because of what to eat? Even if God tells them stay in Accra, they say no, they want to go to Kumasi. They will have a better life there. We pursue better life. Is there anything wrong living a good life? No. But if it is at the expense of the speakings of God to you, there's problem. It means you are worshiping either yourself or you are worshiping a good life. We have many gods today, but we will not discover it. And that is why it has become a body for God to trust us with things. All of us are here as Christians. If Jesus showed up in this auditorium today, you will be amazed that Jesus will not recognize most of us, because there are few that truly know him as Lord. You know, there are two things in salvation. First, you will receive eternal life when you confess Jesus to have risen from the dead. The second part of salvation is that you confess him as your Lord. That's your owner. There are many people that have eternal life, but Jesus is not their Lord. Money is their Lord. Men is their Lord. Their appetite is their Lord. So when Jesus shows up, Jesus will be on number 10. Because the first thing on their list is their belly. The first thing on their list is what they have. Some people, their property, their possession is their Lord. While they are sleeping, they are watching it. The moment they wake up, that's where they go to first. They check up on their property more than they check up with Christ. Jesus is just what they use when they have problem. He's not Lord. They will worship strange gods. Do you know many worship ministry? They have no relationship with the God of the ministry. The ministry have become their God. So they will do anything for the ministry to go on smoothly, even though their relationship with God is already sabotaged. Their ministry have become their God. Jesus is not Lord. Do you know many people, their title is their God? If you dare forget to introduce them by their title, their spirit will become choked. They can't preach again. A man of God will come up and say, they scattered the spirit because they dishonored him. What is the dishonor? They didn't recognize him as apostle or as prophet. They called him brother. And because they mistakenly called him brother, they scattered the spirit. That day, it can't flow. Because his title is his God. When you say apostle, he walks like this. When you say prophet, the anointing begins to flow. You are walking by another spirit. It's not Jesus. A generation that know not the Lord. A generation that have adopted the ways of the world. A generation that is departed from God. A generation that does evil
before the sight of God, and a generation.
That worships a strange God. When these five things happen, God, we have no choice. It's either we repent and seek Him for an outpouring, or He will let go. He said, because they retain not God in their knowledge, He gave them up to a reprobate mind. Anything goes. That's where the children of Israel will always become slaves. So you will see that persecution will begin. Because it is in that suffering that we will turn back to the Lord. I was in a city recently preaching, and I told them, the goal is not just to gather and say, Lord, kill the enemy. Sometimes the enemy comes to remind us that we have gone away from God. The goal is not God. Destroy these people. No. The people we are telling God to kill today, some of them are the people who would have won to Christ, but were busy pursuing prosperity. So we forgot them. Their wickedness have grown. They are the ones now reminding us that we are godless. So men that should dread us, they now come and make a slave of us. So many times when the people of God either do not know the Lord, or adopt the ways of God, or depart from God, or do evil before the Lord, or worship strange God, God will hands off His hand. And then they will be taken into slavery. And you hear that Israel was in captivity for 80 years until God rose Shamgar. You hear that Israel was in captivity for 12 years and then Deborah rose. You hear that Israel was in captivity for 8 years, then this one rose. This one, because that persecution is what reminds a generation that they are departed from God. But we must not go the way of persecution before we repent. If we repent now, then the verdict of 2 Chronicles 7:14 will be activated. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. Revival is necessary, because a quick look at the body of Christ today reveals these five indicators. We are a generation that don't know the Lord. We know the things God gives, but we don't know the Lord. We are a generation that have adopted the ways of the world. We are a generation that have departed from the Lord. We are a generation that have done evil before the Lord. We are a generation that have worshipped strange gods. Revival is our solution. Revival is our verdict. Revival is what will change the status quo. In the days of the first apostles, Ananias sold a piece of land and he lied to the apostles. And immediately Peter said, why have Satan entered your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And he fell down and died. But today, there are many people that don't just come to lie to church. They steal the offering from church. So when you go to the big cathedrals today, the room where they count offering, there are CCTV cameras. Because if you don't mount those CCTV cameras, you will not meet the offering there. You know why? We do evil before the Lord and we are bold. The CCTV cameras in churches today is a proof that we need revival. Because when revival comes, you won't need CCTV camera to stop men from stealing. The fear of God will become a law. To become a law. The things happening are despicable. You can't even say them in the public square because they are despicable. The things that we have done. The things we have done. And so we repent as a generation. This is why we pray. And that's why I began by telling you that the prayer is not to show who prays best. We have all accepted that we are wrong. And so we come before the Lord in brokenness and say, have mercy. Have mercy. We have gone too far that without your help, we can no longer be relevant. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. You cannot find strong men among us anymore. The days when men counted it an honor to be killed for the gospel, and they knew that if you kill them, you have implicated yourself, because the spirit upon them will fall on 10 more people. So the body doesn't lose when you kill men. When you kill one, there are 10 who are ready to receive that spirit. But today, if you remove one strong man, it becomes a gap. You can't find another one, because there are no strong men among us. That's why we cry. The prayer for revival and the need and the goal for a conference like this is not just to excite ourselves. It's not just to come receive impartation. It's to find out, where is the body of Christ now? And I just painted a picture of the body of Christ to you. We are people that don't know the Lord. A large percentage of the body of Christ are infants. They don't know God and they don't know His ways. They come to God for what God can give or what God is willing to give. They have no relationship with God. A large percentage of the body of Christ today are men that have mingled with the world system. We come to church, we comport ourselves and act sanctimoniously. Find us in our offices. Find us in the market. Find us at home. That's when you will know who we really are. What you see in church is a charade. You will hardly find a genuine person in a congregation. Everybody is packaged to be perceived in a certain way. When we leave the church, that's when you know what the true congregation is. The men you see saying, hello brother, how are you doing? When you find them outside the church, you'll be amazed. They have different voices. They have different character. They have different attitudes. Because the church is just a package. The church has become a synthetic expression. It's no longer a reality. So you hardly find true men sitting in the pew. Everybody is acting in a certain way because he wants to be perceived in a certain way. We have adopted the world system. That's why we talk like the world. We dress like the world. We live like the world. The rigid government of the Holy Spirit that should control our lives is no longer there. When you see a spiritual man, there are laws that govern his life. A spiritual man walks a narrow path. There are things he doesn't see. There are things he doesn't utter. There are places he doesn't go. His life is under a government of a spirit, because he must become as ancient as the spirit that powers him. So many times, a spiritual man has no identity. He only gives expression to a spirit. His name is the Holy Ghost. And for you to live to a point where your life can give expression to the Holy Ghost, you must come under the laws of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has many laws. That's why it said the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. It's not funfair. It's a government. It's a pathway that is narrow. Only few men walk that path. That's why spiritual men are mad, because they don't leave the status quo. They are different from their age. They have departed from the civilization of their time. There is a way we talk. There's a way we live. We are not like every other person. Our life is governed by His Spirit. But when you see people that have adopted the world's way, know that the Holy Ghost is far from their borders. That's why they can wake up in the morning and they stroll out. Their day has started. No. Our day don't start with the activity on the to-do list. Our day begins in the Spirit. Many times before you wake up, the Holy Ghost is chanting in your spirit. You will not leave your room until He finishes singing. And so if you know you will go to work by 8 a.m., then you may have to wake up by 5. Because if the Holy Ghost doesn't finish singing, you can't go. That's the way of a spiritual man. Many times you receive your salary, you say, drop it on the altar. How will I eat tomorrow? It's not part of your business. That is His department. Because you are governed. Many times the Holy Ghost may tell you, cut off from your friends. I want you to help them, but you can't help them now. So come with me. After 2 years, I will send you back to them. And so even though you enjoy their company, you have no choice but to cut off. They will say you are proud. They will say you are arrogant. You want to defend yourself. You say, keep quiet. You are functioning by an organic economy. And by the time you yield to that government, after 2 years, when you come, they will look at your friend. And when he looks upon you, he will repent of his sins. Because you have come from another dimension. You have come from another realm. This is how the Holy Ghost wants us to live our lives. So one man, he's teaching him intimacy. He's teaching another man the fear of God. He's teaching another man the way of power. He's teaching another one the way of fasting. We are on different track. You can't afford to live your life like a wide way that anybody can walk upon it. Sometimes, 2 years of your life, the Holy Ghost is teaching you the way of fasting. And for those 2 years, you know that you are a man of solitude. How can you have room and accommodation for the world system? It's because God has departed. We are a generation that have adopted the way of the world. And that's why compromise is always found in our gathering. Either we compromise with money, or we compromise with our integrity, or we compromise with our purity, or we compromise with something. We are no longer as rigid as a rock. The Bible said Elijah took 12 stones, and he said this is symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. The reason is because when we walk with God, we become like stones, lively stones. There is no ground of compromise. Where we are standing yesterday is where we will stand today. And even though tomorrow have not come, we are sure that it is where we are standing we will stand. That's why I say, oh King, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. We will not bow. Come tomorrow, we will not bow. Come next year, we will not bow. If you like, give the best you can offer. We don't know how to compromise. When you see a generation that compromises, they have adopted the world. They have mingled with the world. They have had intercourse with the world. They have married strange women from the world. And when the body of Christ becomes a body, there you can find the things of the world in. Then you know that that body needs revival. If you want to know the dance that is reigning in the world today, don't go to a club, come to church. You will see all the new dance steps that are reigning. When you want to know the language that is reigning in the world today, don't go to a club, come to church. Go for choir practice and hear how your praise leaders talk. That's when you'll discover that what they are doing on the stage is talent. There's no life in it. We need revival. When we embrace the world, we depart from God. When we depart from God, we adopt evil as our lifestyle. And not too long, we will begin to worship strange gods. We have to repent. Somebody wants to cry to God tonight. Have you x-rayed your life? And then you have checked. You know that you have lost your first love. Because once upon a time, you didn't pray by discipline. You prayed by hunger. The presence of God literally drew you to prayer. But now you have to discipline yourself and allocate time. Something has gone wrong. Do you remember when you used to fast as a lifestyle? You don't wait until they say there is a group fast. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you want to eat food, it's like sin. Because that day, the Holy Ghost have gone ahead of you, and you know that you don't have to eat. It means you have lost your first love. If those days have become far, it means you have gone from the Lord. Do you remember those days where sometimes you are alone talking with God, and even the light in your room is noise because of the sacred conversations you are having? You may need to off the light and hide in the darkness. When they off the light is like a noise because of the intimacy that is going on between you and the Holy Ghost. Now you can't even pray. You wake up in the morning and say, Father, help us. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, you. Ha ha ha. Ha ha.
When you come to church, you hear one scripture, and that scripture becomes sweet like honey. You can afford to walk home for 2 kilometers. You are not even aware that you have trekked because of the joy that the word of God brought to your spirit. Now you can't go to church because you don't have transport. I remember some 10 years ago, church was like close to 6 kilometers from home. We had no dime, but we'd not be late. Because if service is 4, by 2 o'clock we are already going to church. We are so excited. We just want to come to church. Even when pastor have not come, we are just asking questions. We are asking questions. What did they say about Holy Communion? What did they say about salvation? This, we just enjoyed it. And when church closes, we will trek home. Sometimes, my friend was with me, was in my house, Pastor Sonny, one day. And I was not around, but my elder brother was around. He trekked home from church after a communion service. He got home around 10. He was so tired that he forgot to lock the door. He just fell on the chair. When my brother came home, the guy was sleeping with his suit, but he was speaking in tongues. And my brother looked at him and said, "Are these people normal?" "No, we are not normal." I was listening to a message. This is like 10 years ago. I laid on the rug listening to a message. I was beaten by scorpion twice. I didn't notice. I felt the pain. I just itched it. I was so engrossed with the message. My body, I pressed on the scorpion and killed it. When I woke up in the morning, that was when I saw, because the place was itching me, I now looked down. I saw a scorpion. I was rolling on the scorpion. I had killed the scorpion, but I was enjoying the message. I can sit in one spot and listen to messages for 12 hours. And I'm taking notes because the thing is eating my soul. It's eating my soul. Eating my soul. A scorpion beat me twice. It didn't distract me. I killed the scorpion. I wasn't aware. The next day when I saw the scorpion, it became souvenir. I snapped it and showed my brethren. Because that was how we bragged those days. Fasting for 40 days. And then when you finish, on the day you finish your fast, you want your friends to see you. And then you walk out. When they look at how thin you are, they know that you have climbed Horeb. They know you are coming from Horeb. Because there's a way we look when we come from Horeb. Those were the things that satisfied us. We didn't remember whether God blesses or not. But I tell you the truth. Those days, anything we think of before we pray, it is answered. And one day I preached, and I preached until it became hard for me to pray. And the Holy Ghost said, "Where is your first love?" I realized that I had gone a path of iniquity while preaching. You don't know the things you have lost. Some of us are at the level where we are beginning to embrace the world. You are beginning to love secular music. You are beginning to love how they dress in the world. Suddenly your gowns have become too long. So you want to go and shorten it because your lap is not showing. Your jean trousers have become, you want it to, it should be tighter. You want to expose your body now because to you the definition of beauty is the degree to which you expose your body. Another spirit has come. He said they are seducing spirits in the last day. 1 Timothy 4:1. They are seducing spirits. We have begun to embrace it. Hey.
before this conference is over, the Holy Ghost will take you back to the mountains of your first encounters. That place where you met God that made you tremble at His presence, He will take you back there. Some of you, He will take you back. That place where you met God, that the word of God was like honey to your spirit. You could read a whole book of the Bible. Preaching is a distraction. But we have to do this now because of the season. I read books in a day, books of the Bible. I sit down and read 50 chapters of Genesis. I read the whole thing one day, and it's not enough. When I finish, I will still carry a book. I will come back home around 10, tired. But if I open that book, I will read till 3 a.m. and finish reading it. And I will not be tired. The next day, 5 a.m., I'm awake. Because I was functioning by another energy. With fasting, you go out for soul winning. When you are done winning souls, you will come back home, pray in tongues. When you finish, you go and carry your book, read, and still pass exam. Nothing suffers. There is too much energy of God on your inside. We don't brag with suits. How many suits we have? You win a soul to church. The person doesn't have a dress. Instantly, follow me home. You carry your best suit and say, take. When the person wears the suit to church, you're happy. Today, something has gone wrong. That's where the body of Christ is, and that's why we must repent. My brother will tell me, I will never give you anything to keep, because I know if I give you tomorrow, I won't see it again. You were mad about giving. Every bike man that takes me home, if you carry my phone, you'll see Okada Matthew, Okada John. You can't be with me for 10 minutes and don't give your life to Christ. There was something burning. But when you see a generation that loses those heritages, then there's need for revival. I know now you can preach better, but what is the texture of your intimacy? I know now you have more boldness. Those days you didn't have boldness. Before you go to preach, you pray in tongues for 3 hours for boldness. Now you are bold. But what is the quality of your walk with God? I know you know more scriptures now, and you are more popular. But when was the last time you fasted for 21 days? Because 2 years ago, every year, at least 6 times, you fast 21 days. Every two months, you go 21 days. When was the last time? You are now a preacher, but you have lost your altar. When we say we need revival, it's not just about sinners. It's first of all about the body of Christ. You want to pray and repent? Ask the Lord now. My goodness. Ask the Lord to help you. You know, I had to shut down for the last 11 days just to spend time with my wife and then to pray. And that was the first time in the last 3 years that I had 11 days to be at home. And so I said, okay, let me do a 3 days fast just to, you know, edit and clean my spirit, man. Because I've been traveling, so there are garbages. And I almost died fasting for 3 days dry. That was when I discovered I had become rusty. A global apostle cannot do 3 days dry fast. I almost died. In those 3 days, I told God, help me, help me, help me. What has happened to me? I could not pray any other prayer. I was just telling God, help me to finish the fast. To finish 3 days fasting. 72 hours without food and water. A global apostle is struggling. Lord, help me, help me to finish 3 days dry fasting. I now discover how rusty I was. Meanwhile, fasting before is our language. We play with it. What do you mean? Even when we are not fasting, we don't eat. I fasted for 5 years straight, 6 to 6 every day, straight. And in some of those days, I will go many days. I went to the hospital, they checked, they said the wall of my stomach was thick. That means I should have had ulcer because of the abrasion that takes place due to high concentration of acid. But there are few people that have an absorption mechanism that if their stomach wall is not abrased, it becomes thicker. My acid content was higher. The same me wants to do 3 days dry fast and I'm struggling. You can become rusty. And when you become rusty, not too long, you will find yourself adopting the ways of the world. Not too long, you will find yourself departing from God. Not too long, you will begin to sin and it will become normal. You will fornicate and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank God nobody saw it. Your fear will now be for you not to be exposed, not God. Many people walking in sin, they are not afraid of God. They are just afraid for them not to be exposed. So they fear losing their name much more than their relationship with God. Their relationship with God is nothing. It's their name that they preserve. You know, church people, they have lost it. You want to repent? Ask the Lord to help you now. Tomorrow, there will be a release of fire, but vessels must be ready. I have 2 more minutes. At least those of us in this auditorium and online, let's begin with ourselves. What were the things you did with ease that you now struggle with? It's a sign you have compromised those things. And you have compromised those things because you are mingling with the world. Go into all the world, but don't let the world come into you. When the world comes into you, it's a problem. Ask the Lord to help you now. I just want to pray briefly before I leave. I want to pray for someone. I want to pray for someone. You want to ask the Lord for help? You can leave the congregation and come forward. Let me pray with you. To tell the Lord, Lord, help me. I mingle with the world. I've departed from you. I do evil before your sight. I worship a strange God. Whether you are in the auditorium or you are online, you can kneel before your device and ask the Lord for help.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.